Now we come to Patrick. So Patrick, could you explain the appeal and lure of the sport of squash today? I mean, is a sport only played by a niche group of students, and how is the sport ranked in terms of appeal against the likes of badminton or tennis in Singapore?
I think in schools, we still have the attention of the students. Having courts readily available,
yep,
that would help. But it's to get them to be passionate about the game. I think squash in recent times have had good personalities. That, you know, like golf, you have a Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tennis, you have a Federer. So these personalities are very strong and they attract the youth. So for us, we have Remy Ashaw. And he has done very well. And the game has evolved over the years from the Australians to the Pakistanis to the Egyptians. These Egyptians play with a lot of flair. They like all the fancy movements in the court. And the boys and the girls, they see this. And they are also impressed and attracted by this type of game. Also, the courts have been evolving over the years. Now we have common four glass courts. It is very, very attractive.
Yeah.
In iconic places, you have it at the pyramids, you know, you have it in the Grand Central Station of New York, you have it on the top of the Peninsula Hotel or the Shanghai Bund.
Oh, wow.
These are avenues that attract these youth, and they look at it, they say, wow, I aspire to be able to play in those venues. So they work hard and train. So the exposure is there. Now is to get the youth to participate. So the schools where they have courts, they are well used. But where there are schools that are interested but there are no courts, they partner with the association and the private clubs. So the relationship is good. So for example, the school can discuss with the clubs and say that, I have this interest. Would you open your facilities for us to play there? Usually the children, when they go and play there, is off-peak period. So
right,
the courts are available.
So that it doesn't disrupt when the members of the club.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the after office hours, the 5 o'clock onwards, those are the peak periods. But now, this is a lull period in the club. Why not we allow the students to participate and grow the sport? So there is good interaction between the association, the clubs and the schools to use these facilities. And that is one of our objectives, to widen this reach, to get more schools to work with these private clubs and get the buy-in from the clubs.
Yeah, I think that's a great initiative. I mean, NSA and the schools as well.
Yes.
NSA, the schools and the clubs.
And the clubs.
Josephine, on the whole, from primary to tertiary level, what would you say is the estimated number of students playing squash in our schools today?
Okay, for primary, as Joanna mentioned earlier, we don't have exact numbers because no primary sort of inter-school. But from the squash academies, we can sort of tally up that we have maybe about 100 children in primary school playing. And for the secondary to tertiary, probably you have another about 500.
Okay, so this includes students in the boys, all boys schools and convents?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Joanna, you, just like Josephine, both of you were former national players. You in particular for around 6 years, I believe, for
six,
you.
No.
More
many
than
years.
That. Many years, okay.
Since 1993, I think, to 2006. And then I came back in 2015 for 1 year.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Awesome. Definitely more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Between 10 to 15. How would you compare your time of playing in the 1990s to the players of, you know, the 22nd century? I mean, what were one or two key challenges or obstacles you faced back then?
I think for now, the squash has become more professional and there are more opportunities right now as compared to the past. During that time, I think one of the challenges I had was funding was more ad hoc. So the planning of training and tournaments were obviously more ad hoc because we don't know whether you have money to go. And it was more sporadic, like tournaments are not like ongoing, like now that it's more professional. Every month in the calendar, you've got events and tournaments to go to improve your ranking. So during that time, I think that was one of the challenges. So to look at squash as a long-term career at that point was a bigger challenge than now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the coaching standards? I mean, you're the chairman. Chairwoman of the coaching division, what about the coaching standards? Have they evolved over the years, especially during your time as an athlete?
I think it has definitely improved. Nowadays, I mean, you have to get proper coaching certification, as well as you have to be, I mean, sports science is more advanced. An example will be, you know, players now, they have proper gym programs, they know how to go about doing their recoveries to prevent injuries. So definitely the coaching technique and it has improved tremendously. Yeah. Okay.
Patrick, let's come to the next few questions. Going to be interesting ones. Let's come to the issue of playing facilities in Singapore. It's no secret that the home of squash, as in the Kallang Squash Centre, will be torn down by next year as part of the Kallang Alive project. Sports Singapore has been involved with talks with your NSA over the location of a new venue. I believe more than a year the talks have been ongoing. So Patrick, what can you say about the discussions with Sport SG?
I think over the last 3 months, we have been more active in the engaging of Sports SG as well as MCCY.
Right.
They have been very receptive and open to our suggestions. They are willing to listen to our point of view. I think all these are positive signs for the relationship between these associations as well as the ministry. We have to make the effort to justify to them why we should be in the Kallang Alive precinct. Earlier on, there were reports in the press, I think the 7 August newspaper article said that squash would not have a place in the Kallang Alive precinct.
Mm.
What we have been liaising with Sports SG is, let us look at the data. With the reports that they have to show that squash is a declining sport, opposed to the data we have, supported by Deloitte, that says that utilization of the courts have gone up. From 2011, we have maybe 10,000 hours of court bookings. Come 2013, we have 37,000 hours of court bookings. Come 2017, we have 53,000 hours of court bookings. These are data available.
Yeah.
And divided that by the number of courts available, public courts available in all of Singapore, 24 of them, you have very high utilization. Of course, they will say, oh, well, maybe at peak hours, you may have high, but non-peak hours. But you have to look at the facilities we have, the few centers that we have, Yio Chu Kang, Berkeley, are the bigger ones, and Kallang. Our home of squash for 40 over years.
Yeah.
These.
Let me just. So, like you said, Berkeley, Yio Chu Kang as the interim sites for the national players to train. So, can you maybe explain what is the key problem with these two locations? As in, not enough of squash courts or not enough of spectator seats for tournaments at these two locations?
Okay. Each of those locations are different. For Berkeley, it is inaccessible. There's only one bus that goes to that center, bus 317.
Okay.
So accessibility is one problem. The other one is the courts are not glass-backed, but wall.
As in, it was built 20, 30 years ago.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Many years ago.
Yeah. This is the Yio Chu Kang Sports Club.
No, this is the Berkeley.
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 Right, oh, okay, you're still
which
on Berkeley.
Which is actually
Berkeley.
The middle of Serangoon Gardens housing estate.
Okay.
Private,
okay.
Right inside the estate.
Okay, yeah. That explains the one bus. Okay.
Yes. it doesn't mean that because it's 20 years ago, that's why it's no glass.
Mm.
Kallang is 40 over years ago. We also had our glass back.
Mm. Okay.
See? So okay. It was built that way, and that is one of the limiting factors of the Berkeley. You have no aircon courts.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Nowadays, tournaments are all played in aircon condition.
Correct.
The temperatures actually have a specification to conform before you can hold some of these tournaments.
Mm.
So they do not have that. They have non-adjustable tin heights.
Mm.
You know, so these are some of the concerns.
Mm.
Of course, the condition of the courts, not so ideal because resources are not put in enough. But that's some of the limitations of the Berkeley Squash Center.
Okay.
For Yio Chu Kang, better facilities, but still not able to meet the standards expected. For example, again, no aircon. You have no viewing gallery that can take more than 40 people. So these are the limiting factors. They do have the glass back courts, but other areas like the flooring, which have to be upgraded. And that's where the dialogue with Sports SG has been very positive. They have said that, okay, we are going to move your national training center to these venues. They would look at upgrading them. They will consider what type of upgrade is necessary and work with us on these upgrades. So that's a positive discussion. But that is only focusing on the national training center. How about what we lose at Kallang? We are losing 7 of the best courts we have in Singapore, where they are air-conditioned and they have a large viewing gallery up to 280 people. That's where we had our SEA Games in 2015. And you saw the long lines trying to get into the center. It was not sufficient for the number of people who wanted to watch it. So that is the difference between the Kallang and the other centers. Kallang has been the home of squash for many years. Our national training is taking place there. Everyone knows that if you want to play squash, you want to watch squash, it's at Kallang.
Yeah.
So it's a well-known brand for squash. We have been in Kallang precinct for many, many years, and we hope to stay in that in the new Kallang Alive precinct.
Okay. Josephine, adding on to what Patrick said, what is the ideal plan which the NSA would be comfortable with in terms of facilities and infrastructure? How many courts is ideal for a proper national training centre?
Actually, we've actually done a blueprint, and we've actually presented that blueprint to MCCY already. We are looking at about 15 singles court.
15,
yes, and that's, you know, later I explain why. We're looking at 15 singles court and one show court, which is all glass court, and two jumbo doubles court. And the reason why I'm saying so many is because this 15 is not just for national training. We are talking about using it for the community as well. Because currently Kallang has 7, and when we have our national training in the evenings, the public is actually not able to book until after what, 9 p.m. when training is over. So they are actually not happy with that.
Yeah.
So in order to actually serve the community, you cannot just have the courts for the national players and high performance. We are looking at the community. That's why we are looking at 15. And this 15 is also able to convert to 3 international doubles court. So in this new center, we would be actually able to, we will actually have all 3 types, the singles, the international doubles, and the jumbo doubles. Yeah.
So that's almost 18 courts that you're requesting, right? 15, single, one center piece and two.
So 16 and 2, yeah, 18. Yeah. But then because I think squash requires a very small footprint, so you can actually stack on top, one on top.
You can what?
You can actually stack the courts, one on
you
top
can?
Of the other, yes.
Oh,
so
okay.
We are looking at a three-story, two-story with a mezzanine kind of
which you don't
design.
Have. Yeah, Kallang squash
no,
doesn't
we
have
don't
that.
Have,
yeah,
yeah, we
yeah.
don't have that. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the possibilities now with technology, we have the single courts, but they are also adjustable to be able to fit the international doubles format.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned comfortable,
because
the walls are
more
comfortable.
Intense use of the land, so that we don't need courts for single, courts for international doubles, and courts for jumbo doubles.
Yeah.
You know, we can incorporate 2-in-1, and that's where the intense land utilization can be used better.
Right.
You know, so all we require is a smaller footprint of maybe 45 meter by 45 meter, and as Josephine has said, we can build over 2.5 stories.
Yeah, that's interesting, because there isn't a current facility with that sort of thing
no.
in Singapore, right?
Well, I would say not even in the region. So once we do this, you know, ours would really be the state of the art kind of.
Yeah.
There is in Hong Kong. They have over 3 stories, 6 courts in each story.
Okay.
But they do not have the formats that we are looking at.
Right.
The jumbo doubles as well as the convertible to the international doubles.
Okay.
So that's the advantage that this new center will have.
But Josephine, would you say in order to push for this sort of, the ideal situation or even petition for a better NTC, National Training Center venue, isn't it a chicken and egg situation whereby results is a key the results is the key component which probably is used to determine a big and better venue? I mean, I'm not saying that results was the key component taken into account when they decided to move the Kallang Squash Centre, but if that was the key component, would you say that is a fair reason by the the powers that be?
I think you're right to say that, well, it's quite likely that there's this connection between your results and getting a bigger and better venue. But I think our government also don't necessarily just look at results. I mean, there are other sports in Singapore. Mm. You know, look at soccer, look at tennis, you know, these, even running. Mm. These are sports that need not necessarily have to do very well regionally or, you know, in all these big competitions. But the participation is there, the community interest, the participation. And similarly for squash, right now we feel that there is really an interest from the community and at the grassroots level that, and we're also doing some grassroots events to actually reach out to the underprivileged and so on. So that segment of the market is big. And not only that, we're also looking at the aging population. Mm. So most of, I think in the 80s and 90s, there were so many people in Singapore playing squash. So most of them are probably in their 50s and even in 60s. And guess what? They're still playing squash. We have a Veterans League that's really very, very vibrant. You know, and they are still playing. So it's not just about doing well. I feel that, you know, it's just, there's actually a much broader base in terms of squash players.
Okay. Joanna, which do you feel is more important? Maintaining a location for its history and heritage, or possibly getting a brand new venue with state-of-the-art facilities, just like how our bowlers have a new venue at the Rifle Range Road, or our shooters with their shooting range in Choa Chu Kang?
Oh, you're asking me a question like you're asking me to choose who is my favorite child. I would say that I would still want squash to be at Kallang. Kallang has got such a strong history, and people are proud of the history of 40 years with Kallang. People can connect to squash because it's at Kallang. It's accessible. And the thing about it is we do need that state-of-the-art facility there and make it even more vibrant. So I would think having it elsewhere, you know, if it's at Choa Chu Kang and it's not accessible, I don't know whether the state-of-the-art facilities will be fully utilized. Because right now, if you look at the data of Kallang usage, it's so high, it's so popular. So we would like to continue to give these the recreational players, the social players, the National Training Centre to be there. I think you know, my point is, I think it's still important that we stay at Kallang and we get the kind of facilities that, you know, that everyone can use.
Patrick?
Just add that I think our government is also pushing for Singapore to be a regional sporting hub. Mm. And I think being in an accessible and a well-known sort of established area,
like the sports
hub. Yeah, that really helps. And I think we're also looking at, with this new facility, we can actually get players internationally to come here to train. And your technical officials, your coaches, they can also come here for technical development. So it's just not about us, it's about the region, and also attracting, like, you actually have tourism upside on this as well.